Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Occasionalist. Matt Pagel here once again. However, not flying the ship solo this time. Bringing back a special guest for the first time in a long time. The one and only, the big lefty himself, the final boss, Jeremy Jones. Jones, good to have you back, man. How you doing?
It's been a while, man. It's good to be back. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you. Any idea how long you think it has been, out of curiosity?
Doing a podcast, I'd say it has to have been, what, 4 years at least?
I think so.
If not way longer?
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. That's sometime like around quarantine.
Yeah, I would say that's probably been about, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Jones and Pagel, you will shut your mouth if you know what's good for you. You think you can run a podcast without me? Get the hell out of here. The whole damn show is here.
Holy shit. Rob Nugent's in the building. Holy cow. I swear to God, folks, this was unplanned. This is uncalled for. I'm going to be calling up Triple H. We're going to settle this right now. Nugent, what the hell are you doing here?
I'm crashing your damn podcast. That's what I'm doing.
Well, shit. Jones, should we bring him on? What the fuck do we do?
I'll allow it, dude. Cue the music. Get him in.
All right, Nugent, fine. You can fucking come on. You can come on the podcast, too, if you want. You like to drink,
Let's
so that's cool.
Let's fucking do it.
All right, so I guess we have two special guests here for this podcast tonight. Jeremy Jones, Rob Nugent. Nugent, you have been on more recently. How you doing, Nuge?
I'm doing good. I got, a couple glasses of wine at dinner. Now I got a couple of beers flowing, just standard Saturday night.
Sounds good. Sounds good, man. Glad to have you back.
Cut the mics.
Hey, baby, I like it good. Yeah, baby, I like it good. Hey, baby, I like it good. Yeah, baby, I like it good. Shimmy, shimmy, y'all, shimmy, y'all, shimmy, y'all.
Whoa! Holy shit, it's Dennis Casella's here.
I need all of you fat, ugly heifers to shut your mouths. The only way I could even look at you is if I were drunk, and I'm not. But I need everyone to be quiet so they can listen to the sexiest podcast on God's green earth. I'll put the music on while I take this robe off.
All right. Listen, if I knew it was that kind of podcast, I don't know if I'd be here. Dennis is getting naked? I don't know. I didn't sign up for this.
Well, yeah. Well, Dennis has officially landed, that's for sure. So I guess this is now like a fatal four-way drinking pod. I guess we're bringing in Dennis Casella, too. Is that okay with you guys?
I've never had a bad time drinking with either of these boys, so
absolutely.
I'm in.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Dennis, welcome back to the podcast, man. It's been a while for you too. When was the last time you were on?
Long time ago.
That's right. Yeah.
Long time.
Well, this is exciting. I'm really really happy to get all four of you guys on the podcast. Even though you guys all rudely interrupted me and Jones, it's totally fine. But happy to have you guys here as we are embarking on our final episode for Aperitif April. We're just going to sit around and talk about drinking. It's something that, as I know you guys from college, you guys are all very good at.
Well, I've had a lot of practice.
Quite accomplished.
Jones, what are you eating over there, buddy?
Don't worry about what I'm doing.
We can all hear it.
That's what I'm wondering.
We all hear that bag crinkling.
Spots off to a good start. Oh, shit. No, seriously, this is great. We're all here to talk about drinking. We all met at Bowling Green State University in some capacity or another. Jones, Dennis, and I, fraternity brothers, Nugent, as we used to call him, Beta Rob, one of, from a different fraternity that you and Danzy just hung out with us. I don't know, more than you hung out with the Betas. Is that even correct?
That it might be. I mean, considering that my fraternity was only there part of the time that I was at Bowling Green, that's might not be correct.
I only knew the Betas being completely gone already, and then you were just the guy that infamously crashed all our parties. You were always there in some facet.
They had quality leadership over there, clearly.
Yeah,
at the Beta House.
I mean, we clearly had some quality leadership too, you know.
That's true. They let all of us in.
I mean, listen, you guys threw good parties. I wanted to hang out. Okay. Don't blame me. All right, I just like hanging out and drinking.
We really did throw good parties, and like, so the last like couple times I've been back to BG, it is shocking how different the drinking culture is there. Like, they definitely party, but it's a very weird vibe. I don't know how to explain it. Like, it almost seems like they're partying out of obligation. Like, they're not having fun. Like, there's just nothing else for them to do.
It's that's very true. I mean, it was with a purpose, and yeah. it does not feel that way anymore. It's awkward to go back.
Yeah, a little bit.
Part of the curriculum.
Well, it's Saturday night. You guys got to throw a rager.
Yeah. It's definitely weird because the times, you know, when we've made it back for different alumni events and, you know, we make the mistake of being the old guys who try to stop at a house party.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have a hard time remembering, but I don't recall us, like 15 of us just sitting in a living room while four other people played like Call of Duty or so, like that's a party.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
In college, it's just a bunch of people playing video games and other people watching.
Pretty much.
People don't chug shots of Everclear and stuff just to real quick. Let me catch up before we go to the bars anymore.
No. You shotgun a High Noon now.
Oh. Jesus Christ.
Here's a good conversation. Now that Jones brings that up, when you went out and for whatever reason you had to catch up, what was your drink of choice? Because I know exactly what mine was. This is at the bar, of course. If you're at a party, you're just chugging as much natty as you can.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're at the bar and you're trying to catch up, what is your drink of choice?
Now is the question though, when you were in college or is it now? Because that's different.
Oh no. When you were in college. Now okay. I'm 41. Like I'm actually happy to be, you know, even keel and not out of control.
Or I just don't go to the bar and show up and try to catch up.
Right. That too.
Right.
But yeah, if someone calls me like, I'm hammered at the bar, come meet me, I'm like, I'm good, dude. I'm all set. Thank you. But back then, and I will actually kick this off because I asked a question and give some time to think about it. Two things. Back in the day, Molson Triple X used to be a thing. So I would drink Molson Triple X. And then every once in a while, just mixed in a shot of 151. And then I got caught up in a fucking hurry, let me tell you.
I'd say so, yeah. Dennis, you want to follow up there?
Yeah, I would probably say a Steel Reserve was probably in the mix there.
Mm-hmm.
And just a shot of Jameson.
Yeah.
There you go.
Steel Reserve. Dennis, you should really have some self-respect. I'm just going to throw it out there.
See, I recall it was always Jägermeister. For some reason, we would have... I recall always stashing bottles at Kevin Schmidt's house because we couldn't have it in the fraternity house and things like that. So, like, I'm sure he boosted a bunch of it. But, like, I used to have, like, giant liter bottles that I would stash at his house and slam Jäger, go to the bars... Or if I got to the bar, I would get something that tasted really good so that I could just power slam that and catch up with people. Something with vodka mixed in with it or something like that.
Right.
Absolutely. Jones, I'm with you on that one. Jäger for sure. Jäger bombs at the bar if I was trying to catch up. Mm-hmm. And I would always do the Mickey grenades. The little green bottles of Mickey's. The little sixers of those. Crush, like, they're like the easiest drinking malt liquor. Just would throw back like three or four of the grenades. I think they used to sell, they probably still sell grenades at Nate and Wally's.
They definitely have Little Kings for sure. Still
do they really?
That, 100%. Little Kings, that's one of Wally's favorite beers. they definitely still sell that.
That's nuts. That's nuts. Yeah, it was catching up is a thing I don't do anymore. Like there's I'll go out and like, you know, try to get like a little bit lubricated or whatever, but like catching up if people are hammered, no fucking way. It just doesn't happen.
No, that's a young man's game.
you're more sophisticated taste now.
My more sophisticated taste. Like I just have Land Grant beer course that I'm drinking right now, so I'm sophisticated. Well,
Nugent, that's a perfect segue. So, what are you guys drinking right now for the pod?
So I just started, so I'll kick it off here. I'm drinking Land Grant Lemon Glow Hazy Pale Ale. I like wheat beers. I like shandies. I like stuff like that. It is rare for me not to have this time of year Market Garden Shandy in my fridge. It's almost always there. However, I'm cleaning up the remaining beers in my fridge right now because I am completely stocked. It's Stanley Cup season, which means I'm only drinking Canadian. I've got Labatt Blue Light, Moosehead, and I've got Molson in the fridge. Because Stanley Cup time comes around, I only drink Canadian.
We get it. You follow a winning franchise. Good for you, dude.
That's not, mind you, that's not in Canada.
That is not in Canada, but
no.
So, also, I'll give a story after that, but you guys go ahead. Tell me what you're drinking.
Jones, why don't you hop in there?
I got the mixture so I could make some transfusions. It's golf season. It's my favorite drink. That's my thing, you know?
There you
strong,
go.
Strong. Ugh.
It sets the mood. It keeps me happy.
I can't do a transfusion. I've had one once. No, did not go down.
Okay.
Pussy.
So, you drink steel reserves, but a line is transfusions.
A grape juice drink is too much for you? Like, come on, man.
What else is in? Isn't there ginger ale or something, or ginger beer or something else in there?
Have you ever been? They taste like grape juice, man. It's not bad. You're soft. It's okay, Charmin. No.
10 ply.
You know, Dennis, go ahead. Oh, sorry, Dennis. Go ahead and answer. What are you drinking?
So I've got the Truth, an Imperial IPA from Flying Dog.
There you go.
But Nuge was talking about my lack of self-respect, which probably died back in college at the point when I was given a case, an entire case of King Cobra 40s.
Yes.
That is when self-respect left permanent.
How do you get gifted a case of King Cobra 40s?
So, who'd you piss off?
right.
I paid the wrong people. I can't remember the street that we were living on, but I was living with Matt Allinson and Sewell and those guys at the house we had, and I think Matt got it from Pat Conway.
That sounds right.
Pat and the family had like that market or something that they owned on the east side of Cleveland.
Oh, their bodega burned down or whatever, right?
And I don't remember the specifics.
Or something happened, yeah.
Yeah, but Matt didn't want it. And so he just gave it to me, and I gladly accepted.
We were doing like Hyper weeks. Vipers and like all kinds of shit.
Oh, yeah. For weeks, that's what we would have a King Cobra and then go out.
You know who we can blame for Steel Reserve? Brad Breitenstein got everyone drinking Steel Reserve for a while. That's one person, even though he just like resurfaces every like 5 or 6 years, that's one dude. I have never had like a bad time partying with Brad. It's always entertaining at the very least.
See, I just recall the knockoff, was it Joker energy drinks that he always was just pulling out of his back pocket because he would have Jaeger or something to mix with it. But he just always was like double barreling Joker energy drinks in his bag, like always out of nowhere. He'd pull them out of left field and have it ready to go.
Those were the early days of energy drinks when there were so many random brands and names that were coming out.
It's all rocket fuel in a can anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All also agree, speaking of that, that we're all for the better the fact that we were out of college when Four Loko became big?
I mean,
I would have killed myself.
Yeah. the funny thing was though, like when it really kind of came around, I was like still hanging around with like, I'd go down to like, Akron with the Brinkleys, and, Chris is like 3 years younger than Carl. So he had a lot of college aged friends that we'd end up hanging out with. And inevitably we would end up just banging those Four Lokos. And that was always a bad time. Like always a bad time. I felt like I gave myself like a really low grade heart attack before going out.
Anytime I would have drinks like that, I feel like I would literally get like chest palpitations after a while. It was too like people that would like, because I had a couple nights even with like vodka Red Bulls where it was like that was cool, but then like 2-3 in the morning you're like, I don't know if I should have done that. Like,
I'm so desperately tired, but I can't sleep.
Drank 3 Red Bulls.
Might as well just snort Adderall at that point.
Right.
That's one that I'm glad I, like, even though it was prevalent when I was in college, that was one that, like, it seemed like people had that stuff like candy, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I did not dabble in that area.
So hey,
what are you drinking?
I'm crushing a ranch water. It's just tequila and seltzer water. Lime seltzer.
Okay, so here's a good question for you.
It's water with buttermilk ranch in it.
Yep, exactly.
Are you drinking ranch water, the actual drink, or did you make a ranch water?
I made a ranch water.
Okay, so I was in Chicago for work a few weeks ago, and I had never heard of this.
Okay.
And we get to a bar. Like, we all had this. We went out to this nice dinner. We get to this bar afterwards, and this guy's like, hey, this is what we're drinking. Like, is everyone okay with it? It was like 4 or 5 of us. And I was like, yeah, all right. If everyone else is, I will. And then I watched this person make them. And I was in awe because I had no idea what the hell this shit was. And then I came home and I tried to make it myself. And it was not nearly as good.
You got to do it with. So I made mine like essentially like the original recipe, I guess. With an Añejo tequila and then Topo Chico lime seltzer. And like, it's super refreshing. It's so good. I am for all those like people out there that drink White Claws, just make your own fucking seltzer. Like, it's cheaper. It tastes better. Like, I've had like the canned ranch waters are totally fine. This tastes so much better. Like, so much better.
So, Jones, Dennis, are you familiar with what ranch water is?
No idea. I know seltzers, but no idea about ranch water.
Yeah, I've definitely, seen, stuff in stores. So I just figured it was some sort of, some sort of seltzer or
tequila seltzer.
Jumping into that game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it really is. You take a Topo Chico seltzer water, you dump a little bit out, and then you fill it with lime juice and tequila, kind of mix it up. And that is your, it's basically a tequila seltzer, but... Pagel's right. Super refreshing. I feel like it would be a terrific pool drink. You're hanging out at the pool. That would be a hell of a drink to have.
It's a really good pool drink. And this one podcast I listened to called it a popo no-no. Because you can just walk around with it in public as though you're just drinking Topo Chico. And that's exactly what it looks like you're drinking. So yeah, popo no-no.
Popo no-no. Now we know.
I like it.
All right, so now do you guys have like at this point, do you have like a go to drink every night? Not every night, but like a couple nights a week or just weekends, whatever. Do you have like a favorite drink that you're just like, I can't wait to make whatever it is? Jones, why don't you kick this one off?
I mean, my go to is what I have here. I mean, I don't drink them often, but it is warming up and it's golf season, so that's. That's my drink of choice when we hit the course. So now that we can, in Ohio, we're getting past the snow. We just got to dodge tornadoes. That's where I go with it right now, man. It's transfusions. I think they're good. I drink beer, stuff like that, but I'm also weird in the sense that I struggle to burp. So beer to me is like, after a while, it gets really annoying. So yeah. one of those things I deal with, you know.
speaking of that, I'm hoping that the recording can pick up some of the burps that I'm laying down.
Probably.
I'm trying to be respectful, but.
So, Dennis, let's go to you then, real quickly. What's your favorite drink?
Gin and tonic.
Yeah.
Just classic. Classic. It's super refreshing. Again, especially if you're on the golf course, I'm not trying to drink, you know, anything that's going to quickly warm up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to drink a warm Miller Lite after, you know, 3-4 holes. So a gin and tonic, it's a couple limes in there. It's perfect. It's a perfect summertime drink.
All right. Nugent, we know that you like to drink piss, so we'll just go on to the next question.
So, Nugent. Yeah, I'm a beer drinker. I've always been a beer drinker. The Market Garden Shandy that comes out 5 months a year or so is one of my favorites. If we're talking just standard beer, I'm a Coors Light drinker. But if I'm out at a restaurant, I love a good old fashioned or a Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like a glass of Pinot Noir with dinner too, if I'm out at a restaurant. So
fancy.
I've got all over the place.
Folks, when he said Pinot Noir, his pinky went right up. It was fantastic.
Straight up. Hey, at least I can get my pinky up. That's about all I got. Not much else goes up these days, but the pinky goes up. So
very nice. Very nice. It's really interesting. So I'm going to circle back to you here in a second, Nuge. So I'm anything with bourbon or whiskey for me, you know, some kind of highball, 7-Up, Coke, you know, ginger ale, ginger beer, whatever, something like that with my bourbon. That tends to be my go-to, or gin and tonic too is always actually a really refreshing little change up for sure. But like, I have noticed that as I've gotten older and as some of my other friends have gotten older, beer is less and less part of the equation, except for apparently for Nugent. Do you guys find this to be true, that you guys drink beer a lot less than you used to?
Absolutely. I mean, I recall still going on one of our golf trips that Nugent and I went on and going into a random liquor store in the middle of nowhere, Indiana, and us all having a bunch of seltzers in our hands and the ladies just going, really? We're getting ready to check out. So, I mean, I feel like less, more and more you're seeing less beer and just different varieties of drinks out there. And there's so much variety anymore. It's you know, you have your craft beers and things like that, but otherwise, I think beer's just kind of assumed anymore, it seems.
Yeah. Dennis, have you been noticing the same thing too?
Yeah. So I'm thinking back, it would have been last year, probably around this time, spring. There was a coworker of ours who she's an older lady and lives on her own, but she was, you know, wanted to mulch and do all the stuff in her yard in the spring. So a bunch of us offered to help. And so I brought a 12 pack of Miller Lite. I was the only person that brought beer. Everything else was High Noons or Trulies.
Mm.
And all those guys are like in their mid 20s, late 20s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they never had the pleasure of stealing one of their dad's beers and being grossed out by it when they're like 12.
Right.
Yeah,
they don't know the pleasure of a Jenny Ice.
I worked long and hard to acquire my taste for beer by stealing my brother's when Keystone Lights were always prevalent in the garage fridge, and so you just stock a cooler, hide it, and then you were good to go in the high school.
So good segue here. When you were a kid, if you either stole beers or like what your dad had or anything, like I specifically remember, my dad wasn't like super like brand consistent on things, but I remember a lot of those Michelob gold foil top beers in the basement fridge when I was a kid. Did you guys have something like a dad or an older brother or something like, hey, this is normally around?
I have one older sister. She's only a couple years older than me, so I didn't have like that, you know, that kind of thing. But my dad was a Coors Light drinker before it was really prevalent in Ohio. So like he had all of these, in like the old Coors like cans, where it's like more like a pull tab kind. Like I know I'm not going to explain this correctly, but it was like this like slot that you kind of like punched through or pulled open, or something on these old Coors like cans. If you look it up, like if you Google like vintage Coors like can, like I remember that, and I just remember, you know, like just like he would be drinking, and I would just like ask for a sip. So like I would get a sip of it or whatever, and I just remembered how much Coors Light grossed me out, and I carried that bias for so fucking long that Coors Light was just this like stank beer. But I mean, it's not bad. But that was his brand, because like he used to go skiing out west, and like he got introduced to it out there, so he would try to find it when he could when he was back in Ohio. And I guess for a while through the 80s, it wasn't like as prevalent as it became a couple years later.
Well, to answer Nuge's question, no, Rob, because my dad wasn't around. Thank you.
damn it. I'm an asshole.
This just got real awkward, man.
Fuck.
I can definitely remember like the first beer I got drunk on in high school, and that was MGD.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. And I actually
do they still make MGD?
I went searching for it recently, and I was happy to find that it is still available.
What bad neighborhood did you go to, Dennis, to find MGD?
I'm sure there was some influence there from my dad, because it was probably one of the few beers at that time when you're like, you know, 15 that you'd even recognize.
It's almost like my dad was trying to deter us from drinking. And the only reason I'm segueing this is Miller Genuine Draft. That was the only beer he bought. And I'm pretty sure he bought it like once, because my dad did not drink, but Miller Genuine Draft was American Pride and everything like that. It was when they came out. You remember the plastic bottles?
That might've been
inspired by Cleveland, but they came out with the plastic bottles. For like a decade, those same bottles were just in our fridge. So it's like if you could roll with a skunky beer if you wanted to, but that was it. Like otherwise, then my brother, once he started, you know, stashing cores or Keystones, that was the beer for me. That was what I started sneaking out. And you know, we always played. And in high school, it was basically you would dunk the beer cans in people's in their gutters, and that was like the trademark at house parties, is leaving 16 ounce Keystone cans in gutters of people's house at house parties.
Oh, that's great. That's great. That's
pretty fantastic. And then a thunderstorm hits and go, man, there's a shit ton of leaves blocking the gutters up there.
Nope.
Again.
A bunch of fucking stoners.
Yeah.
Does anyone remember when for a while there at our parties we switched to Keystone because the 30 packs were like $9.99 or something?
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
We as though we were, it was almost like we were sponsored. Like we just suddenly yeah. switched. We're like, sorry, this is a Keystone only party now, because we can we get six extra beers for the exact same cost as Natty.
I just always remember like people would always question me why I was drinking them. Like, why are you drinking? And it's like, I don't know. I never had a problem with them. I always thought after I got over my initial, like getting used to tasting beer, Keystone was always delicious. It still is. I still could drink those.
It's okay. So real quickly here, Jones, this is perfect. Like even though like when I do drink beer, I do kind of want to drink something a little bit nicer. I'm probably going to crack one here in a minute. I still have zero problem just lining up like a Natty Tall Boy for no reason and fucking drinking it.
I mean, like, my wife can't stand beer. She doesn't like beer. She says it doesn't taste. I genuinely love the way beer tastes. I mean, a mm-hmm, simple sure. Bud Light, Miller yep. Light. I can drink like one or two IPAs. I don't understand how people can like go have a night on that stuff.
No,
like
that's like a
male glass of wine at dinner. Some if you don't drink wine and you just want to have mm-hmm. a fancy beer with your burger and fries, great. But like if I'm going out, I want something that I can delete pretty quickly and just get a shit
sure.
I don't understand people that go out. Like if I go out and drink, I'm going out with an objective. I'm going out because I want to have fun. I'm throwing the cinder block on the gas pedal. I'm not going just to have one or two and have a good time.
Right. To quote the words of Jeremy Jones, I'm trying to howl the moon tonight. There's times they're like, we're out like on the golf trip or something, and like Jones would just look over like, you know, we're talking about like, I can try and go tonight, or what are you doing? And Jones would be like, trying to howl the moon tonight. And I've always loved that line.
That's a great line. Dennis, any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely go and look, you know, for the IPAs or something that is going to taste good that I like. But then there's definitely times when all I want is just a beer, just a beer brand beer.
And it says,
just from a sitcom in the 80s.
It says beer on the can. Yeah.
Yes. Like whatever you think beer tastes like, just a plain regular beer.
There's something refreshing about just a plain old regular beer. And Jones, 100% to back you up, you can't do a night of like shandies or hard IPAs. It's like fucking, first off, they're like 230 calories a piece. I mean, like, be like drinking an entire day's worth of calories and a few beers. But also, like, man, I can't drink that heavy shit for that long. But I can fucking, you want to do some Miller Lights and some Natties? I can do those all night.
Right.
Here's room for a lot of those.
So I will tell you, I can do an entire night of shandies. And I will. I'll make it happen. I'm also with, to back Jones up, I love beer. Like, it's just my thing, right? So I play hockey twice a week. There's always beer in the locker room afterwards. We're usually going out and having a few at the bar after our games and that kind of thing. I love beer. I'm a Coors Light guy for, like, regular beers. But if we're talking, like, what beer can you still drink that is maybe not the priciest, I can't do Natty anymore. But I'll tell you what. You give me a Miller High Life in those clear bottles, I will destroy High Lifes in clear bottles all night long. That is my, like, shit beer that I will still just drink the hell out of.
Well, it is the champagne of beers.
Don't call it a shit beer, first it's off. Not, give, yeah. give it its proper.
Oh, it's a shit beer. Yeah. I mean,
come on.
Stop it.
No, listen. Listen. Dennis and I can find you some shit beers.
Cut Nugent's mic again.
No, the champagne. Good call, though. Good call. So this actually kind of this works pretty well because, as you mentioned, Nuge, drinking beer in the locker room after hockey or whatever. Nuge, what's your like ideal setting for a refreshing adult beverage? Like, where are you most at peace when you're drinking? Besides your house, because certainly my house is number one.
You know what? I've had multiple conversations with my boss about this, about what's the best beer. Okay, first beer of a trip. Especially like a vacation or a golf trip or something like that. Call. Your first beer, that's a fucking good beer.
Mm-hmm.
A ballpark beer, you put me at like a stadium, you give me a beer there, that's a great fucking beer. The other one that I'll bring up, and because there is just no rules, an airport beer. I don't give a shit if it's 7 a.m. There are no rules at the airport. You give me an airport beer, no rules apply. You want to have a Cinnabon for 4,000 calories and then a beer right after at 7 a.m.? Do it, because there's no rules in the airport, and I respect the hell out of that.
And if you're on a Boeing flight, you don't give a shit if the doors fly off.
I've had a beer. I'm fine. Let the whole thing crash.
Yep.
It is amazing how in an airport, though, like, you could see somebody at 6 a.m. getting a beer, and you go, oh, he's probably just got a long flight. And it's just, nobody cares.
No.
You see somebody walking out of a grocery store with a bottle, and you're going, somebody's got problems. You know what I mean? Like, nobody cares in an airport.
I was on a red eye from Dallas back to Cleveland. And when I landed at Cleveland at, like, I don't know, 5-something in the morning, I don't remember which bar it is, but I think it's like a Great Lakes little setup or whatever. There were like 8 people at 5 in the morning just sitting at the bar, just throwing them back. And I'm like, so do they just get here and they started drinking, or they've been here? Honestly, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Matthew McConaughey would say they're LIVIN. They're living.
That's right.
Throw back to the last pot I was on right there.
That's right. Perfect. Perfect. Jones, what about you? Your ideal setting for a beverage.
I mean, my ideal setting, I'm staying true to form. It's been my theme this whole time. I don't drink often, but when I like to really cut loose and let go, I'm usually six strokes ahead of Nugent in a golf course, or we've reached a point where it's been so bad. I still recall the infamous golf round we had one time where it was the scorecard, the back nine just read drunk because we were playing so bad and we kept losing balls that it was like, you know what, we can do one thing right on this. Let's make sure we do this. And we just got annihilated. So that's always my ideal setting, is getting drunk on a golf course. It'll never change.
Denny, how about you?
Well, quick question for the group. Do you guys happen to follow Bob Does Sports?
Of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd seen some of their videos where they're trying to drink
like
18 beers in 9 holes.
Yeah, Nugent and I have sent each other cameos of Bob Does Sports.
Yeah, oh, no. I sent one to Jones for his birthday, and he sent me one back for mine of that dude. Yeah, that dude's awesome.
That's pretty crazy. Love that guy. I think the setting determines the beverage, because again, if I'm on the golf course, I want a gin and tonic. I want to stay cool. I want something crisp and refresh. But if I'm at a ball game, then it's going to be a Miller Lite. Or, a Miller Lite, a hot dog, and a pretzel, whatever.
There you go. Yeah, I think so. Setting for, like, the exact setting kind of determines the drink, absolutely. Would you agree or disagree, gentlemen, that there is... It doesn't even matter if it's necessarily 100% warm enough to go in the water, but, like, a lakeside or a beachside beer or some other drink is, like, absolutely unparalleled in terms of relaxation? Just being next to the water.
So we used to have, we don't anymore, but before kids, we had a season pass to Zumbezi Bay, which is a water park here in Columbus. Mm-hmm. It's at the zoo. And there was, it's like a great water park. And like, so, my stepson Dominic, a lot of his friends, we were all friends of the parents, kind of all of us together. We all had these. And so we would all hang out together. And there's, a couple of bars there. And you just hang out and drink beers at the pool. There is something to be said about pool beers that are just phenomenal.
They're more alcoholic, I think. That's what seems to happen to me.
Yeah, I was just recently in Jamaica, and it was nice every morning waking up, setting the towel in a chair, and then everybody knew what they were there to do. It was an all-inclusive resort. you get a solid base of breakfast in, and then let's get to it and start drinking, see what they come up with. I've never had a bad time drinking on a beach. I know that.
Damn right.
Yeah, they understood the assignment. Yeah, but if you could be in the pool or the lake with beers floating with you.
I feel like, though, too, another mm-hmm. caveat is if it has a swim-up bar, it amplifies.
Oh, you're yes.
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, I can just stay in here and they keep them coming. We're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
Things are going to get real serious here. So swim up bar, like that one place in Put-in Bay that has a swim up bar, that place always never disappoint. Always a good time there.
Splash.
Now to yes. Jones's point, I've also been on a few all inclusives, and I like every time we go to one, and I've only been a few times, but that first day, you just get rocked at the pool. You're in the sunshine. You're on vacation. There's no worries. Just getting hammered at the pool. And I remember, like, every time, I'm like, man, I could do this every day. And then by, like, day four, you're like, all right, I got to figure out something fucking different to do. as fun as this is, like, I got to do something else.
I got 3 more days of this shit.
Like, Jesus Christ, I want to go home.
I want to go back because Jones just said, just mentioned Splash Bar in Put-in Bay. I saw one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen in my life. I mean, first of all, the place is just a teapot of
spilled
alcohol and urine.
Yeah.
that you're just bathing in.
And chlorine. Cause if you just watch that pool bar for like 10, 15 minutes, just watch it. No one gets out. Ever
right,
to
right.
do anything. They're just pissing on each other.
Right. But the incident happened. There's pretty much always a long line for the bathroom, obviously. You're just drinking all day long. And there's water everywhere. There's water all over the ground. There's water, and other fluids, all over. and I'm standing in line waiting to go to the bathroom, and some drunk asshole walks past everyone, no flip-flops, no shoes, barefoot, straight into this bathroom. Oh. And I almost threw up. Like, just splish splashing again through who knows what.
Oh my God.
People that don't wear flip-flops into those kind of bathrooms are absolute animals.
I mean, it's not even like it would make, it probably wouldn't even make a difference, like, at that point. But at least there is a piece of rubber between you making direct contact with just every disease on the fucking planet. That guy probably had his feet amputated.
Got gangrene.
Jesus. I still can't believe, like, I haven't been back to Put-in Bay since I was in my 20s, and I'm like, part of me like feels like maybe it'd be kind of fun to go back, and then the other part of me like remembers the last few times I was there, and I'm like, nah, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I've seen Put-in Bay chew up so many people. I'd be afraid to go back. I've seen so many times of people that never let their guard down, and all of a sudden Put-in Bay, and it's like they're blacked out, sleeping on the floor of the house or something. Just, I mean, it gets everybody all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God, when I say this, I saw a guy get stabbed there. I'm not even kidding. It was in like a little, like an alley or something, like in between, you know, a bunch of different bars or whatever. And I saw the whole thing go down. I mean, it was quick. You know, you're not, you stab somebody, you're not hanging around to see how it ends.
Well, did he get caught? What? Tell the whole story here.
No. So obviously there's a lot of people walking through the alley, and somebody, there must have been a prior, an argument or something that, you know, spilled out from a bar, you know, on that street. And a guy, I remember this specifically because somebody walked by the incident, looked at this guy on the ground as he's bleeding, and went, oh, shit, he got blood on his Nikes, and just kept walking. Jesus.
Not the Nikes.
Yeah. Like, well, that's all the time I have for what's going on.
We're all talking about Put-in Bay. Dennis is in East Cleveland at a pool.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there was Dave's old girlfriend. What's her name? Haley? Haley, what, she's a Zalaska witch now, correct?
Right.
Yep.
Her friend got murdered on the island.
What?
Yeah, what? Some dude beat him to death. Like, Jesus. Over, I don't know, like, they got into a drunk fight or something. They found each other outside of a bar, and he just, like, beat this guy to death.
Dang.
Wow.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it was probably like 10, 12 years ago, but like, yeah, this guy like just like beat this guy to death and then like tried to hide him in like someone's yard, like in the bushes.
Dang. All right. Yeah, that's wild.
Well, who brought the good news bear?
Anyway, womp, womp, womp. It's fine. We didn't know him, so it's okay. All right, so... Certainly for Nugent Jones, I know this is probably more recent, but we'll start with Dennis then. Dennis, when was the last time you had a drink with each person on this podcast right now?
Well, I would probably say, at least for you, Pagel, and Jones, when was the last time we were back in VG for like Founders or Homecoming?
Yeah.
Did you drink though? It was the Airbnb night.
Yeah. Well,
when,
yeah.
When Pagel booked us a one-bedroom garage,
yep.
Three dudes, or four dudes.
Four dudes.
Yeah. That sounds so romantic.
It was close quarters. The ceiling upstairs was so hard slanted that, like, I had trouble to get into the bed. I had to, like, crouch down. And I'm like, I can't even wait to see how Jones gets into this fucking thing. He's going to launch himself.
The walls were like this, and then you had the bed, and like I had to walk like I was sitting in an airplane, like along the wall, the contours of the wall, just to get into the bed. It was hilarious.
Yeah,
Yeah, I mean, I did. I tried until I got sick after the first day. And then I tried to get it going day two, but couldn't. And just ended up lying on the couch, like in cold sweats, while you guys went out.
It was a pretty good time. Also, Dennis, tell us about that time you tried to cook breakfast for us.
Yeah, in a stove that was connected to nothing. Yeah, that was just connected. No, there was no gas line. There was nothing.
You were hyping up that breakfast so much.
I was. I really was. I was looking forward to it myself. I
had these eggs ready to go, like stirred up, ready to go. And the stove is connected to a wall. I think just nothing.
I don't. And, right. And I don't know. And again, we're talking about what was actually a detached garage at some point in, mm-hmm. in this structure's life.
It was like a college house. Yeah. It was like a college house with a detached garage that that apparently it's an Airbnb rental that.
Right. So the size of this stove, I don't think I've ever seen a stove like a two burner stove.
It was small.
It was very small. But the last time I was probably out with Nuge, that was several years ago.
It seems like the Reagan administration.
Yeah, seriously. I don't remember the course that we played, but we had an outing and we were in Columbus. And I would have to let Jones probably tell the story of everyone at the first tee, and the starter is, you know, telling us, well, on this particular hole, you know, watch out for something over here. And Jones knows the story.
Don't, whatever you do, don't piss on hole 16. So Dennis just gets later on, we're going. Yeah. And we get to the hole, or we're like on, I mean, we're on probably like 13 or something. And Denny just right away, well, I know where I'm going to pee, because we were getting there.
For the record, we've been drinking for hours at this point.
Yeah.
That does need to be said.
Yeah, that was, Nuge, you had the flask? What was it, like a 64-ounce flask?
Oh, Jones' something? Flask.
Oh, was that what
it was? Was this, Jones, was this for your bachelor party?
No.
No, I think, honestly, what he's talking about, I think it was Poprick's bachelor party. Because people didn't go to the actual bachelor party, but people showed up to golf, and we golfed that, like...
Dennis, I think that's correct.
Wasn't it? We were all there.
Yeah.
Like,
the four people, of us were... We were a foursome.
Yeah, yeah. People showed up to golf, but then some people couldn't stay for the actual, like, evening festivities.
Mm, because I remember... Yeah. So I remember that, where... Where I go, what hole did that guy say? Don't take a piss? 16? Okay. That's exactly where I'm going.
Challenge accepted.
And held it on purpose. But that was also, there was a huge thunderstorm that ripped through there that we all had to stop. And we were all just like, found a spot where we could all hide under trees and we all got together.
That was Jones's bachelor party.
Was it?
Yes.
No.
There was a moment when Agner got pissed because we couldn't golf and we had to stop. And he goes out and goes, fuck this. His ball was sitting in the fairway. And he walks out in this downpour, hits the shot. And I'm not kidding. He hits it to like 3 feet from the pin.
That's the first ever golf outing. That's the first hacker we did. And we did. You're right. This is then when at the after party, we just destroyed Freeman's house.
Because
he's talking about that. And look, Agner was shaping golf shots, but Nugent, that's the infamous night that it happened where he introduced himself to you properly and you got to meet his now wife. And that infamous story too. So like that was the original Hacker's Heritage one. That was a good time.
It was
that
a was cake we, fight at Freeman's and we just straight up destroyed his fucking house.
Freeman hit Butters with a cake.
Oh,
he just smashed. He grabbed a piece of cake.
And Butters hit him with a shovel.
I'm talking like point blank. Just heaved it at his face, and it exploded around him. And he got revenge in the most Butters way possible. Like
Freeman had kind of forgotten about it, and he just came up and mashed his face in cake in anger.
I like, by the way, I love that you destroyed Freeman's house. That's the best part of this.
They jammed they jammed beer cans in the oven. I mean, people like hiding.
I love how he says they. Like, he had no part of this. They did it. Jones was doing that shit, too. Like,
in case Freeman suddenly starts listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I still talk to him, so I got to make sure I'm in the clear. I did I did nothing, Jason.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, good times. Here's a good segue here. All right? The four of us. What are some good, maybe appropriate to talk about drinking scenarios that we've all been in? And I'm thinking of one in particular. Like, I've had ridiculous fun stories with everyone. There was one night when I was still living in Cleveland that I came to Columbus to go out for an Ohio State game, and Pagel was there, and we're drinking, yada, yada, yada. We get completely blacked out and walk through the drive-through of a McDonald's at like midnight, one in the morning, just walking through, furious that they wouldn't serve us because we were walking through the drive-thru.
I was making car sounds and everything. I mean, come on.
Nuge, are you talking about just the propensity to do weird shit? Like,
yeah, like dumb stuff that we've all done together.
Oh, well, I was going to say definitely in college for a while, I had a propensity to sleep on just about any cold surface I could find, a bathroom floor. I'm not kidding. I passed out under a spruce tree in the middle of winter.
Dude, you're muted there.
You're lucky you didn't die, dude.
I had a jacket on. I had a coat on.
He had a coat on. It's 20 degrees out, but he's got a coat on.
Rob, I'm not irresponsible. Okay.
let's talk about real quickly all the times that when Jones and I were working at Junction, all the times that like it basically turned into just like our like me, Jones, and anyone that knew me and Jones were just hanging out drinking for free. And we would like, there'd be nights like a downstairs Junction where like everyone at the bar was like knew all, like we were all friends, and we were just kind of like, oh, so this is why we don't make money, because no one sitting over here is paying. And like the bartenders are getting tipped, so like they're making money, but the bar is not making any money because no one's paying.
It was so much fun to walk into that bar though, and just you threw up the arm and everybody knew you were about to just hammer shots.
Yep.
And it was, everybody gathered around. It was a blast, but I also don't remember starting a tab either.
Nope. I remember one night walking into downstairs Junction. Jones is behind the bar, and you know there's a bunch of people that I just hear, Nooch, over here, Cena Slammers, let's go.
Oh, Jones just
starts lining up Cena Slammers.
You can't see me. Can we? We need a quick Cena Slammer aside here, because I was explaining this to my one friend about the how the Cena Slammer came to be, and like, but like I couldn't explain exactly like this sort of magical effect that it had on everyone that drank it. Like within one or two people, like it was as though like they went into a boxing match in the bar and came back out. Like they just got beat up for like five straight minutes and were on a different planet. Like
it all came from Cena won the Royal Rumble. And when he won a Royal Rumble, it's what got me back into watching pro wrestling. And we were at downtown watching it with all the townies. And then we ran to Junction and Handhold was bartending, and it was a Sunday night. Mm-hmm. There's nobody there. And it was just like, we literally were like, he's John Cena. He's got a little bit of Hispanic heritage with the name and stuff. We'll do Jose Cuervo. He wears blue, so Blue Caraco or Carousel, however you say it. And then 151, because we know that's going to get people, you know, that's going to take you there. And so then it was just a drop shot with that, and that's how it came to be. And it was Yeah, those things are.
When you say like people look like they went, you know, just got beat up after, like that was by design. That was
The whole point of that show. For sure. We were trying. It was to assault people with a drink. Basically, and when people like, because it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like we put it on a menu or something at Junction, but like a lot of people knew about it. My one friend, it was, do you remember Logan's short friend? I think his name is Matt. Little guy. I mean, that's he's like a normal looking guy. He's like 5'4" or 5'5" though.
Are you talking about that Fravor, right?
Different guy. Another shorty.
Okay. I'm not sure though. It
doesn't matter. But anyway, yeah. he came up. I was working the front door downstairs one night, and he's just like, okay, so Logan told me I have to try Cena Slammer. I'm like, yeah, go ahead and just, I'm like, I think you were working. I think you probably even served him. I'm just like, Jones is in there. He knows what to do. Go ahead and talk to him. And he like came out. He went in like a normal person, and like 45 minutes later, it was like he was doing like a zombie walk out. Like, he just, like, lost all of his senses. A woman goes walking past him. He just honks both her tits and just walks off in the other direction. Just a passing woman just walk and just, like, kept walking.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dude. It'll do it to you, man.
He did, like, two, like, rapid fire, which, bad idea. Terrible idea.
One night I did 8 or 9, and that night I got kicked out of Corner Grill before they served me my food because I just backhanded the salt and pepper shakers off the table for whatever reason, and they were furious at me for doing that. They chased me out of there.
Good Lord. Yeah, the idea was to ruin people's nights way earlier. Anticipated.
I told you the ingredients, though. It had 151 and everything in it, and Jose Cuervo. It should have tasted terrible.
Tasted good.
They're delicious. It's dangerous. Yeah, it's.
They were awesome.
All right, so let's get back into it. I've been doing this all month long, pairing up drinks. You know, it's a thing you do. Apparently, if you're a fancy person, you pair your drink with your meal or some shit like that. So I've been doing these like pop culture pairings all month long for all the drinks. So we'll just go around the circle here, and it doesn't have to be like an exact, you don't have to get too detailed with this, but like as when you're drinking, what is like a song you like to drink to, maybe a whole album you enjoy drinking to, and then some kind of movie or event you enjoy drinking to. So why don't you kick this one off?
Okay. Well, I'm sure you guys have your songs picked, and I don't know, obviously, what you've picked. We haven't spoken about it beforehand, but you're all wrong. All your choices are wrong. Because the choice for the best song to drink to is Friends in Low Places.
Ooh, Mr. Yeah. Garth Brooks. Good call.
It's a great wedding song. You get everybody together at the wedding, you know, drinks goes up.
I agree with Tom Segura. Garth Brooks has got bodies in the closet, dude. He's a serial killer.
That would only make sense. All right. I dig it, though.
Kind of in that light of what Dennis is saying, if we're talking like hammered at a wedding, man, when Piano Man comes on, oh, yeah.
All right.
All day.
All right.
I think that's a great drunk at a wedding song to sing to.
All right. Fair enough. All right, Dennis. Oh, sorry. Go, Jones. Go ahead.
My favorite song is definitely it has a drinking game built into it. It's Thunderstruck. It's all I ever think about when I hear that song. Everybody gets excited when they hear it because they remember that game.
Sure.
You know what I think of when I hear Thunderstruck? This is weird. Varsity Blues.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's the next thing. I think about playing football. So
very synonymous with high school football. I think everybody our age in a high school gym had that song blaring in sports throughout our entire careers.
100%.
Tweeter drank beer because Tweeter drinks beer.
So here's my first. Before I give my favorite song here to drink to, I got to do this. There we go.
Get that sound bite.
Irish crickets.
So Dennis, you're wrong. The best song to drink to and vibe out to is clearly Trick Daddy's I'm a Thug. It is the most chill fucking drinking song of all time. And it is just about being a fucking thug. It is about being a thug in Southern, in South Florida and Miami, doing drugs, drinking beer, and having sex with hot women. Come on. I'm a thug, Trick Daddy.
Anytime you can bring up the name Trick Daddy into any conversation, I'm in favor.
I love that all of his albums are like thug versus thug gospel, like thug life 414, whatever it is. It's just like thug is always in the fucking album title. I love Trick Daddy.
Listen, he's a marketing genius, and that's his brand.
Mm-hmm. He knows the brand. He knows the brand. Nugent, was Piano Man your song?
Yeah, I mean, Piano Man. Okay, so if like we're talking like what's a sing along song when you're hammered? Piano Man or Tiny Dancer, both at a wedding, like hammered, singing along, love them. I will also tell you, there is a band called The Band. Mm-hmm. They were big in like the 60s and 70s. Yeah. They have a tribute concert every year in Columbus. We've been going, me and some friends, the past couple of years. There's a lot of like good sing-along songs there, like, and we're always hammered at this thing, and it's a great time. So there are some really good songs by The Band that are great to sing along to.
Very nice, very nice. Jones, how about you start us off with an album that you enjoy drinking to?
Favorite album that I enjoy drinking to, and this is random, but it's electronic. I like it. It's upbeat. It's LCD Sound System's self-titled album. It takes me back to college, and I don't know. It's one that I think there's a lot of good songs, pretty upbeat, and I've never had a bad time listening to it.
Good choice. Excellent choice. Nugent, how about you, man?
As a Tom Petty guy, I'm obviously going to go there. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's a cop-out to say, you know, anytime you're talking about someone like, oh, their greatest hits. But honestly, like, the Petty greatest hits, like, there aren't many albums that are better than that one, in my opinion. So I think I'd have to go with that.
I think when you're talking about someone whose career spans, like, 40 years, essentially, putting together a greatest hits album is, like, going to be 90 minutes, 100 minutes of just great listening. So...
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I've also been pretty hammered at a couple of his concerts, which have always been a good time. Although, you know,
hammered or
full disclosure, not just alcohol.
Okay, just wanted to clarify there. Yeah,
smoking the Hobbit's leaf, if you know what I mean.
That devil's lettuce.
The devil's lettuce. Denny, how about you?
The song was a hard one to pick. Because there's a ton. I considered there's a song by the Pogues called "The Body of an American," and that's featured in a scene in The Wire. Very good. You can't go wrong with an Irish drinking song.
Mm-hmm.
There's a song called "SOB" by Nathan Radcliffe, which is
great, definitely track.
Yeah, quality drinking song. Album wise, I was thinking just about anything from Chris Stapleton, but I went with his debut album, The Traveler.
Okay.
You get Tennessee Whiskey, so you get the sing-along where you know all the words, but there's up-tempo stuff, there's slower, you know, songs where you can kind of sit and, you know, sulk about something in the past. There's, you know, there's slow blues, there's soul. It's got a ton.
Fair enough. I'm not familiar with Chris Stapleton. I will be. I know who he is and like what he does, but
yeah, his voice just goes perfectly with, you know, drinking a bourbon or a whiskey. You can see yourself sitting in a smoky bar while, you know, he's in the corner just playing guitar and singing.
All right. Fair enough. I like it. I dig it.
By the way, I tried to do some Irish crickets of the can cracking while he was talking, but these aluminum bottles don't have the same effect.
So it was funny, Dennis, because I had two different like kind of routes I was thinking about, sort of more of the contemplative drinking, and like the first thing that popped in my head was this Sage Francis album called Copper Gone, that is extremely depressing in some cases, but like a very personal album. But then I wanted to go the opposite direction. And kind of in the way that Jones describes, like, when we do go out and, like, we hang out and party together, there is, like, a mission to get kind of fucked up. Like, that is the mission. We're going to hang out and have fun with each other, but, like, we're going to try to ingest as much beer as possible. And lately I've been real into these rappers, Joey Valance and Bray. I don't know if you guys are familiar. They could be, if they were in their 50s, they could have been the Lost Beastie Boys. But since they're in their 20s, they're obviously not. But they sound like the Beastie Boys. In a very, very good way. Not like in a copying way, but they have their own sound, but it's very will remind you of the Beastie Boys. Their album Punk Tactics is like the kind of album that you listen to while you just slam Miller Lights, crush the cans against your head, and maybe fight a few people. Highly recommend Punk Tactics for you. So
I'll have to check that out. I haven't heard of that one.
It's like I said, like if you like the Beastie Boys, you'll probably at least find a few songs from Joey Valance and Bray that are pretty good. And it's just like this weird like 90s, this very odd sort of wormhole back into the 90s, basically. Nugent, what was that, Nugent? Oh, okay, gotcha.
He muted himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jones texted me as I was pouring his beer and said, I hope that would foam over on you because it was not. I had to give him the quick, hey, you're number one.
All right, Nugent, kick us off here.
Set the tone.
Nugent, kick us off here. Your favorite movie or event to drink at?
All right, so movie-wise, Days of Confused. I know we just did the pod, but man, it's a good call, that is though. Just such a great, like,
it's a good call.
Classic party scenario, drinking, like, that's a good one. I think that's pretty high on the list.
I feel like that movie encouraged everybody to sneak out and drink beer. So,
oh, yeah. Sure.
I mean, and you know what? Pingle talked about, and I talked about this in the pod, but like, if there's any movie that you could put yourself into and be at the party, I don't know if there's a better choice than Days of Confused. Granted, you'd have to be like of that age. Like, I can't show up now at 41 and be like, hey, like, you thought Wooderson was old. Holy shit, right? But, yeah, but, you know, if you can put me at age 20 into that whole scenario, pretty awesome.
I'll also counter with real quickly if I could get into American Pie and fuck Stifler's mom.
You know what? American Pie is another one that would be up there. If you could put yourself into a movie and drink at the party, ooh, American Pie is high up on that list.
1990s Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay. One of Jerry Seinfeld's many girlfriends.
Yep.
Yes.
During the series.
Danny, how about you?
I mean, I immediately went to Beer Fest, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Das Boot! Das Boot!
You gotta turn it.
Great flick. But I went with one of my favorite comedies of all time, Superbad.
There you go.
The idea that they're on a quest for alcohol and beer and to party, have a good time.
That was a movie I definitely remember sneaking beers into the movie theater because they weren't serving at the time like they do now,
mm-hmm.
and having a blast watching that movie in the theaters.
One of my favorite comedies. I love it. I could watch it anytime.
I'm with you on Superbad, but I had to pick Beer Fest. I literally watched it 2 weekends ago, and I sat there and cracked a couple of beers. And as I was drinking, I'm like, man, I need like 10 more. Like right now, it every scene just makes me want to drink more every single time. And I'm just like, wow, this movie, I'm glad it starts with a warning because they are correct.
Pingle, so, were you feeling frustrated?
frustrated.
Beer Fest was awesome. And I think that's a great call. Did anyone else though, when I think about Beer Fest, and I don't know if anyone else is like this, I felt like we got a little bit fucked because at the very end, they were like, coming soon. Pot Fest.
And yeah.
I want to see this.
It would have been boring. It would have been boring. Come on.
It would have been great.
There's still a solid chance eventually they're going to have to just make it. Because
probably.
that's the nature of everything anymore.
Yeah. Jones. Yeah, anytime you get a movie where you get that much time in between, never is good.
Yeah. Jones, how about you? Your favorite event or movie to drink to?
So oddly enough, I had Dazed and Confused tabbed, and it basically because I remember we played the drinking game every time Mitch touched his nose and did that squinty thing.
Yeah.
We were supposed to drink. So like that to me, that was iconic, and I remembered that. But I mean, event, like I recently just went to WrestleMania. We got to see WrestleMania 40 and had a beer there. That was the coolest thing I got to do. So being there, while we were there, we also got kicked off an elevator. So that shitty ass comedian Fluffy could get on an elevator, and we were forced to take the steps. So I think he should have taken the steps. So fuck Fluffy for the rest of
it. Lucky guy?
Gabriel Iglesias.
Big time WWE dude. We were on an elevator because we had like club level seats, so you had to ride an elevator to get up to it at the link. And so we got on the elevator, and instead of going up, it went down. And they were like, "Hey, we need you guys to come out." And it was like literally him and his little entourage walk right past us, and he's just like, "Hey, sorry." They get on the elevator and took him, and they just left us to like climb 100 steps and go back up, and then like get back.
Get the fuck out of here!
Literally had to like. You're walking up like, am I fucked up? Because we're thinking we just went up some steps, and then it's like the guy that literally got us on the elevator is like, "Oh, you're back," and it's like, "What just happened?" Like, got on an elevator, and then we're just forced to get off, and it was so Fluffy could get to his seats. So, but no, it was
for Carrot Top. What the fuck, man?
No, Carrot Top would do the steps, and he'd wear a weight vest while he did it.
Oh, dude, that guy.
Dude, that dude is freaky looking these days.
He takes some questionable pictures
and
too.
And the Carrot Top reference.
Yeah. All right. So while we're going in, Jones gave a great example here of like an event that he drank at that was awesome. I will give you another one, and Dennis and Pango, you guys think about this. An event that you went to where you drank and was like super fun. You always remember it. I'm going to give you one. I went. So obviously, I'm a hockey nerd. For anyone who knows me, there's a big tournament every year called the World Juniors. It's the best players in the world, ages 16 to 18, and anyone who is anyone in the hockey world played in this tournament, right? Back to like Gretzky and Lemieux played in this tournament when they were kids. So 6 years ago, it happened to be in the U.S. It's only in the U.S. every now and then. It was in Buffalo, and the U.S. versus Canada game was outdoors at the Buffalo Bills Stadium. So I went to it, obviously. That was the most fun fan experience I've ever had. It was like probably like 15 degrees out. No lie. It was like ridiculously cold. There was a massive blizzard in the middle of the game. You had to drink your beer quick because it would freeze over because it was that fucking cold out. Mm-hmm. But that was an amazing, fun-ass drinking event that I went to for sure.
Denny, how about you?
I couldn't come up with anything specific. I had for an event anyway. I'd have to sit and think about it a little more.
How about this? This still ranks up there with one of my all time favorites. When game day came to BG,
was a
weekend of some of the best drinking and most fun I've literally ever had ever.
Yeah. Just before you said that, that's exactly where I went.
Okay. Yeah, because like it starts off with that like that Friday or were they here on Thursday? It was either Thursday or Friday. They did like a remote special or something.
Right.
I think it was actually Thursday. They were here to do stuff, but maybe the remote was on Friday. It doesn't fucking matter. But that was on a Thursday. They did like a little remote special, and a bunch of us went over to towards the Deut where they had like a little, the game day, you know, the stage setup or whatever. And there are people over there, and we spent like about an hour and a half, 2 hours or whatever over there when they would throw to live shots. And we're over there, I don't know, there's probably like 100 people, 200 people over there, maybe a little bit more than that. And I mean, no one's leaving. Everyone would just kind of circle up and just like take a piss, like backs turned if you had to piss. I remember they showed, we can't really hear what they're saying, but they have like a big screen so we can see like, you know, the broadcast essentially. And they showed this picture of this Northern Illinois, like offensive lineman. And as soon as this guy came on screen, everyone's just like, boo, fuck this guy, piece of shit, fuck Northern Illinois. And because we couldn't hear what they were saying, no one realized that they were showing this guy because, like, he had cancer 3 times when he was a kid. And he, like, overcame all these, like, obstacles. And he, like, was fighting cancer again, like, in college, but was still on the team. And we're just, boo, fuck this guy. Oh, my God.
You were that guy.
Yep. It was, God, that was so much fun, though. That whole weekend was just a blast. And obviously, BG won, which really fucking sealed it.
So, fun story during game day. So we all went out, obviously, like I was with friends and we're all, you know, hardcore boozing and whatnot for pregame. And then the game starts. So like try and make my way back to, I was living in Fraternity Row at the time and, you know, I'm hammered. And so I obviously don't take the best route home and I don't like it. It's not far. Everyone's been in lot 6 before. It's right there. I don't know how I got lost going home, but I was blacked out. So, you know, shit happens. I ended up wandering like through the golf course, which was right there. And there were people like playing golf and I had to like, watch and like wait for people like hit their shots. So I could like, scurry through the fairways and shit, just an absolute mess. And so then like later on, I was like looking back at like the maps of it. I was like, I don't even know where I was going. This was in no way, shape or form the way I should have been walking. Just an absolute drunk mess.
So since we're throwing stories out there and something Nuge just said triggered something for me. It was a weekend when a bunch of us went down to Columbus for Ohio State USC.
Oh yeah, yes.
And I remember I think it was the first night we're bar hopping and doing all that stuff and I can't remember the name of the bar, like the Works or something like that.
I think
whatever, it's something.
Yeah.
Gasworks.
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 Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's the last stop we make. Right. And we're not really paying attention to the time, but it seems like it's getting, you know, later in the night. And I'm like, all right, well, before we go and try to get a cab, I got to hit the restroom. By the time I do that, lights come on. Everybody's out of there. I get left. Everybody gets a cab and I'm stuck by myself. So, and at that time, you know, I had only been in Columbus a handful of times. I don't know the area. I just started walking where most people were walking. And
oh no.
So I'm walking down the street. And then I notice in front of me, there is a giant, giant man walking with us. And there's a ton of people around him. And then at some point, he turns his head a little bit and I can see him. And it's Greg Oden.
Mm.
And then his knee just buckled. Exploded into 1,000 pieces. And we stopped at, they have like street meat carts.
Mm-hmm.
In Columbus, where you can just stop.
You're in the arena district. Yeah, that's fine for that.
Uh-huh. So I stopped to get something to eat. Greg Oden ends up buying like 20 people food, including myself.
But where did he get the money for it, Dennis?
Thank you. No NIL deals at that time, that's for sure.
Where did he possibly get that money from?
But I think most of us were staying at Scott O'Neill's house. Well, I started walking in the direction I thought I should have been walking. I walked probably 3 to 4 miles in the opposite direction that I should have been going. And finally called somebody who answered. And I think it was Scott himself. And he goes, Jesus Christ, you need to turn around now. I'm coming to get you.
Columbus claimed many a good people.
I've been out in the wild twice in Columbus. Once at Tuttle Mall, once at a bar that I was at, like my usual like shitty bar, like neighborhood bar that I go to go watch Lightning playoff games. He was there one time. So he's got to live now, like, somewhere around Dublin, because this was within the last, like, 5 or 6 years.
Really?
He's still here.
Oh, okay. Does he, wait a second, does he perchance do some consulting work with Ohio State or something?
I think that he was, like, kind of assistant coach for a little bit.
Okay, that's what I thought.
He went back to the university for a while, didn't he? Like, I think he graduated now, like, just recently.
Very possible. That guy, like, I always feel bad for him for, you know, like, he got picked before Kevin Durant, which was, like, you know, like, how do you fuck that up? But also, like, he was actually, before the first time he injured his knee, he was actually becoming a really good defensive player. Like, he had a game where he had, like, 10 blocks and, like, 26 rebounds or something. And, like, you could kind of see what he could become. And then the first time he buckled his knee was grotesque. And it just, you know, did it again. And that's pretty much the end of that. I always feel bad for that guy.
I still remember when he had one hand and he was still just blocking shots and putting up double-doubles with one hand. The other hand was in a cast.
He was never going to be, like, a number one overall pick type of talent, but he was going to be a good NBA player.
That one commercial was awesome, though.
Was it the vacuum
one? I'm hilarious.
Yeah, oh, that one, yeah.
What is this commercial?
He was, like, selling vacuums, wasn't that what it is?
Yeah, but, like, he played the same character the whole time, but he was trying to show his range of, like, that he doesn't just look like he's an 80-year-old man already.
Yeah. Seriously, he was 66 playing college basketball. All right. Oh. All right, so let's move on here real quickly. I got a quiz for you guys, and I'm going to quote-unquote keep score, which means I'm not going to whatsoever. But so whoever jumps in here first. So this is the Drinking with Buds quiz, and everything's going to be related to the word bud in some way, shape, or form. You'll see. Don't worry.
Well, I thought this was drinking. Is this actually weed?
What's that? Well, we're all buds. And, dude, it can be whatever you want it to be, my friend. It can be whatever you want it to
I'm
be.
Just giving you shit.
All right. you'll get it here. First question. This popular phrase means to stop something before it begins.
You're asking the wrong guys.
Clearly. The looks in your faces.
We didn't stop anything. We contributed.
One more time. This popular phrase means to stop something before it begins. And the clue here is Bud is going to be in the answer. You want me to go for it?
Go for it.
Nip it in the bud.
God damn it. I was getting there.
All right.
I was thinking ombudsman, and that didn't work.
0 points. Interleague play began in Major League Baseball in 1997 under the eye of which commissioner?
Bud Selig.
There you go. Dennis answers first. Bud Selig. He gets 8 points.
You got it. Now I understand. Now I understand that we're playing the worst category in Jeopardy history.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
It took us 2 questions, but we got it.
You got it.
Got it.
All right, third question. Buddy Holly died in a plane crash February 3rd, 1959, near Clear Lake, Iowa. What two other musicians were with him?
Richie Valens.
Was Richie Valens in that?
Okay, so Dennis got Richie Valens. There's one more musician, notable musician.
I can't think. He was called the Big Bopper.
Dennis gets both. Absolutely. It's the Big Bopper and it was like J.P. Richardson or something like that, but the Big Bopper.
Okay.
Big Bopper and Richie Valens.
That's what I do all day, Jones.
Dennis gets, 4 more points.
Big Bopper.
All right. here's a deep cut. Bud Abbott and Lou Costello's Who's on First is maybe their most famous skit. But what team do who, what, I don't know, why, tomorrow, today, who do they all play for? I'll accept the city.
New York.
Nugent says New York. Dennis, Boston. I'll give... Jones, you said Boston?
Sure.
Denny?
Chicago.
Denny says Chicago. And you are all wrong.
That's what I like to talk about.
No, St. Louis. The St. Louis Wolves is the team. that who I don't know and what I'll play for. All right, last question here. Dennis is running away with it. But if anyone answers this besides Dennis, they automatically win.
All right.
Okay, here chance. We go. We're dipping into a foreign language here, but you'll get it. Česká Budovice is a city in Czech Republic, better known for the namesake of what beer?
Czech Republic.
What beer is in the Czech Republic?
Česká Budovice. No Googling.
I could hear the title.
No Googling. I could hear the I'll say the city one more time, and you actually might get it. Seriously. Česká Budovice.
Czech Republic.
I got nothing.
I'm taking
it's a very popular
guess.
Beer.
Stella.
Stella, Jones, Nugent, any guess? You got to unmute yourself, Nugent.
Fuck! Pilsner or Kel?
Just, okay. Denny, you got a guess?
I don't.
Budweiser. Česká Budovice. It's Budweiser. Once upon a time, yeah. Before World War II, it was Budweiser Germany. Now it's Budovice, Bud, Czech Republic. So there you go. Dennis wins the quiz. He is our grand champion today. You win nothing. Sorry.
The shit was rigged.
It was rigged. Actually, Dennis gave me all the questions.
And then
he still only got two. So, which was weird. All right. So we're done with this. We're done with our drinking with Buds quiz. Probably should have. Whatever, it doesn't really matter. Any final thoughts here, gentlemen, before we go?
We should probably do this more often because I had a very good time.
Absolutely.
For sure. We should also, like Nuge's original suggestion, we should also try to do this in person because this would be a blast.
Yeah. Okay, when was the last time you guys were in BG?
I was February.
My last time would have been when I was with the two of them. So when we had that Airbnb, that'd be my last time.
Yeah. So like 20, was it 2022?
I was there last summer. We had a fraternity reunion. When you take a group of guys that were so wild in college, they got their fraternity kicked out and then just let them run free at the bars again in Bowling Green with no family and no responsibilities for a weekend. Fun ensues.
Nugent, tell them about, because weren't you there at the same time as another frat for a reunion?
Oh, we were. So at one point I walked through the union. Was it like Pike or something like that? They were like, yeah, fraternity reunion. We're all here. And we're like, what the fuck, dude? Like, what are the odds that this would happen? However, we scoured all of the bars that weekend. I did not see them there.
Yeah. And
believe me, we scoured the bars.
They had like a table at the union and did like a luncheon, and Nugent and the betas just showed up at the bars. They were like, hey, you guys want to get drunk together? Like,
there's a group text and we'll tell you what bar to be at. That's what we did.
Was that, weren't they the fraternity that got in trouble though? Like, are they kicked off campus now?
They're off. It probably wasn't Pike, but yeah, they've been kicked off because that's where the kid from, I think was he from Columbus? The kid Stone Foltz or something that died?
I think he was from this area somewhere, like Westerville or something like that.
Yeah.
You're probably correct. It was not Pike. It was, someone else. But
some
yes,
other dorks,
another...
yeah.
Well, no, I mean, it might have been right around that. Maybe that'd be why they weren't at the bar. I don't know.
Yeah, well.
Maybe,
we were. I'll tell you what. it was like old time. I think we tried to run a Beta 500 while we were there. I don't know what happened.
Good Lord. All right. So, Denny, any final thoughts here before we wrap this up?
No, this was a good time. I'm glad I was available.
I am too, bud. I'm too. We haven't talked in a long time, especially in this capacity. So this was a good time. Jones, any final thoughts?
It was good to talk to you guys. Glad we got together. Glad we did this. But let's keep it simple. That's all I got.
Absolutely. All right. So that's it for this episode. Denny, you know what? Denny, I want you to go ahead and kind of lead us out of here.
All right. Well, I'm glad I got to do this with you guys. It's been a long time. Nude, it's been
I'm just years. Kidding, Denny. Woo! Listen up, you drunken dummies. The Occasionalists are here to take you all to the Bartender of Pain and buy you a Bloody Slam on the Rocks. While you cheap-shotting chumps were slamming back lukewarm Natty Lights, we were making it rain top-shelf liquor on limousine loads of gorgeous women hotter than the surface of the sun. You want a double shot of the Occasionalist? Well, belly up to the bar and find out what happens when you try to drink with the two-time, soon-to-be three-time heavyweight chug champs of the world. We'll mix you up a stiff cocktail of punishment, garnished with the figure four leg lock. Woo! With these styled and profiled, Rolex-wearing, diamond ring-wearing sons of guns strut their stuff down the aisle, the crowd goes crazier than a bunch of coal miners on payday. Why? Because they know the beer chugging, shot slamming, wheeling dealing, highball stealing, occasionalists don't just talk the talk. We walk the walk right into the saloon, crush a Cena slammer with the boys, buy up every last drop until the place is drier than the desert, baby. So order up another six pack of that stale skunk scent you losers call beer, because you're going to need plenty to wash down the bitter taste of this occasionalist drubbing. Woo! Woo!